But today's message, the title of it is Do All That You Have in Mind. I'm with you, heart and soul. This comes from 1 Samuel chapter 14, and it's the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. So he says, I'm going to just kind of go here. Throughout history, you know, God's carried out the work of his kingdom through willing people. And it's not always been because of their qualifications. You know, he's used people who are very deficient in a lot of different ways to actually do mighty and amazing things. Moses, you know, had a speech impediment. Lord, I'm not worthy. You know, I can't even speak. And he used all kinds of people who didn't have it all together. But that's really, I think, the most important thing, you know, God's looking for is obedience and willingness to serve. So he's more than able to work with what we have if we're willing to allow him to do that. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this new day. God, I thank you for this new season. And Lord, what you've done and what you're going to do, I thank you for your power that's at work in us. I thank you, God, that you're able to do beyond what we can even imagine. And I pray today, Lord, that you would use this message, that you would be glorified through this time. Lord, that you would encourage us in our faith and make us more like you. We want to be ready with to do what you'd call us to, and ready heart and soul to be with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll start off today's passage. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we're going to read just through that. I've got it up here on the slides, so you'll be able to read along if you don't have your Bible with you, if you would like to read with your Bible. So 1 Samuel chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Now, a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul, his father, the king, was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod, so a priest was with him. So the priest, he was the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. All right, so here's Saul. He's got 600 men. The Philistine army has amassed this huge multitude of people. And at this time, too, the Philistines were very technologically advanced, you know, in relationship to the Israelites. Their metallurgy and their ability to make weapons was much higher. So they had weapons the Israelites didn't. And they had actually been oppressing and subverting the Israelites to where even with farm implements and things like that, they had to bring their tools to a Philistine blacksmith to have them worked. And this is one of the ways they kept the Israelites down and unable to defend themselves. So reading on here, it says in verses 4-7, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost, there was a cliff. One cliff was called Bozez, and the other was Sene. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, and the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." His armor bearer responds, "Do all that you have in mind." His armor bearer said, "Go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul." So Jonathan said, "Come then, we'll cross over toward the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we'll stay where we are and we won't go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we'll climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hand and feet, climbing up the edge of a cliff here, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. This is a pretty wild story here. You know, it just... these guys were pretty radical, you know, and this is just what it says in the beginning. And, you know, God can save us whether by few or whether by many. So two guys going up against this entire Philistine outpost, pretty surprising, pretty bold move here. So just based on this story, I just was going to ask us three questions here. What's God calling you to do? Maybe he's not calling you to climb up a cliff and attack an army of Philistines, but he is calling you to do something. So the question we want to ask ourselves, what's God calling you to do? So here, what God was calling Jonathan to do, he was calling Jonathan to step out and make a courageous move against the Philistines, to go to their camp and to rile them up. He's calling him to step out in faith. And his armor bearer gives the perfect reply in verse 7. He says, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. And this is the reply that God wants from us, you know, that quickness and that complete trust in him. You know what? This is an impossible situation you've got me in, but I'm with you heart and soul. I'm not going to worry about it because I know and I trust in what you're able to do. That's what he's calling us into. So I don't know. Sometimes God's call in our life can be pretty frightening. It depends on, in this instance, I'd imagine that was a very frightening call for God, God to be calling them to do. But, what's he called you to do? Is it something, you feel like, I know the Lord's called me to do this, but I'm afraid? Is it something you're already familiar with? Maybe you're a college student and God's called me to missions and I'm already in, I'm studying towards that. I'm moving towards that. Or is it something you've really never given any thought to? Maybe you haven't thought about, maybe God is calling me into something. I'd encourage you just to seek him and ask him, what are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do in this life, Lord? You've got a plan. You've got a purpose for my life. Ask him, speak to him, and he's going to be faithful to share that with you and to grow you into that place that he wants you to be at. So Jonathan and his armor bearer, they didn't seem to be afraid of losing their lives. They had complete trust in God. They said, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. So like this situation here, a lot of God's people, they're hiding in the hills and the holes in the, in cisterns, afraid to engage the enemy in battle. Going back a little bit in the story, we can see in chapter 13, going further back, the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed. They hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And I was trying to find the map and really kind of understand where all this is taking place. But what it sounds like to me is they went back home. They crossed the river and just went, far away from the place of battle. We need to get rid of that kind of thinking that takes into account our own strengths, what we can do in our own strength. Looking at the insurmountable army over there, it's like this is an impossible situation, but... letting that be the determination of what we do rather than depending on God for the outcome. The kind of response that Jonathan's armor bearer had, he can take us into places and use us in ways that we never could have imagined. And we don't want to be hiding away in fear of what's taking place around us and be ineffective. So we don't know a lot of times what God's calling on our life is because we don't spend enough time seeking him and we don't spend enough time listening for his voice and being still and waiting on him. It's really super easy to get involved with what's happening in our lives, with our kids, with our work, with our studies. Sometimes we can let even troubles and worries, the chaos of life, that takes place and that overwhelms God's voice in our life. We're not able to hear, and it's way too easy not to take the time necessary to really seek him, to hear from him. So I do, again, just want to encourage you to seek the Lord, make time to be still and make time to listen. Because God does. He speaks directly to us when we spend that time in his word and listening to him. Years ago, I did have a man. He told me that, the Bible's God's word for yesterday and we need to hear him for today. And I tell you, that's absolutely not true. God's word is alive and it's just as powerful today as it was when it was written. And he's able to speak to us today through that. And he's able to confirm the other things that he's speaking to us through his word. I think it's super important that we make sure that we never put that aside, never put his word aside. But in contrast here to Jonathan and his armor bearer, we hear about Saul who's staying under the pomegranate tree with 600 men. So at this point, what had God called Saul to do? He'd called him to be the king of Israel, to lead a whole community of people. So Saul had been challenged to obey the Lord and to keep his commands. But in chapter 13, verses 13, Samuel has to rebuke Saul because he was disobeying the command of the Lord. Saul had taken it upon himself to offer sacrifices without having a priest there. Back in those days, the priest was the only one who was going to be able to offer sacrifices. Then Samuel says, you know what? God would have established Saul's kingdom over Israel for all time, but instead his kingdom was going to be passed on to a man after God's own heart. So here Saul had had this opportunity actually to really be of service to the Lord, but he kind of blew it. He took things into his own hand. He did things his own way. And, you know, this has already happened. You know, his kingdom is going to end and it's going to be passed on to someone else. So just kind of reading back through the story again too in chapter 13, so leading up to this event, Saul was 30 years old when he became king, so he was pretty young, 30 years old, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel, 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines, and the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers and soldiers, and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And they went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets and among the rocks and the pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" Samuel asked. Saul replied, "When I saw that some of the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I'll have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You've not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah in Benjamin, and Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. So that leads up to where our story started. Saul with his 600 men under the pomegranate tree. So the rest of the 3,000 men that Saul had put so much trust in shortly before this, what happened to them? Saul's faith was, he wasn't in God, it was in himself. And going back in there in the 13, we find that the Philistines came against him and his army, and they were frightened, they began to scatter. So Saul decides to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings himself. This was supposed to be done by a priest. So this is where Samuel rebukes him, you know, for doing this, lets him know the kingdom would have been lasted, you know, but so we've already gone through that. So now back here where we're at, chapter 14, this time around, he has Ahijah, you know, wearing the ephod. He has a priest with him this time, you know, he's got things covered. He wants to make sure that someone would be able to act as a priest this time. And so he wouldn't come up shorthanded like he did last time. But I think a lot of times it's easy for us to take things into our own hands rather than to follow the Lord. And it's easier to resort to religious activities sometimes rather than waiting on the Lord and hearing what he has to say, rather than seeking him for direction, rather than waiting to hear his voice. So what was God calling Saul to do? You know, here in our first question, Saul was failing miserably in his calling. You know, it's something we want to make sure that we're not doing, that we're not failing. We're not taking into, you know, things into our own hands, you know, trying to do things in our own strength. So the second question I want to ask us here. So what are the things in your way? You know, all right. So the first question is here, what's God calling you to do? So what are the things in your way of that calling? So as for Jonathan and his armor bearer, what are the things in their way? Verse 22, right towards the end of the chapter, we can see that the Israelites had no weapons. The Philistines had kept it so there weren't any blacksmiths in the community. They're trying to make the Israelites so they couldn't rise up and defend themselves. So the Israelites had to take their tools to the Philistines to have them sharpened. Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. Saul and Jonathan were the only Israelites that had swords or spears in this particular battle. It says that there were two cliffs on either side of the pass. So here we got, okay, this insurmountable army. We've got cliffs on either side. We've got, you know, this huge outpost of people versus this very small group of people. There's a lot opposing them. On either side of the pass, there was a cliff, one cliff to the north, one to the south. They were going without the king's knowledge in verse 11. He didn't tell his father. They had a lot of excuses not to go on this mission, a lot of good reasons actually not to go. Probably the first one, okay, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing this. You hadn't even talked to your dad about it. This is ridiculous. There was a lot of good reasons not to do this, you know, and if we, you know, but at the same time, I think when God speaks to us, sometimes it does sound a little bit ludicrous to others. And, you know, if he's spoken to you and you've heard it and you've confirmed it in his word and you've spoken to him and you've prayed about it, then by all means, go after him. Go after what he's told you to do and persevere in that. But yeah, they had a lot of excuses not to go. And this, you know, it kind of takes the trust away, that self-preservation that seems to be built into us all. We have that kind of thing. You know, we want to preserve our own lives. What were the things in Saul's way? They were pretty much the same things that were in Jonathan's way. But Saul's kind of, he was basing everything on his past experiences, what he's seen before. He's seen the Lord because of the Ark of the Covenant, because of these offerings. The Lord was battling with him. And so he thinks, okay, this is going to work this way again. I'll just do what I've seen done before. You know, he wasn't able to put aside what seems normal and right and hear from the Lord on the subject instead. I believe many times, you know, this is the first line of attack that the enemy can bring against us, you know, and point us to what we've already seen or not seen. You know, sometimes we're just like, you know what, that doesn't happen. We heard about it in the Bible, but it doesn't happen anymore. So I'm not going to go down that road. You know, we can think about that with praying for people's salvation. Well, that guy's lost. He's never going to come to know the Lord again. We can say that about, you know, healing. Well, you know what, God did that in the Bible, but he doesn't do it anymore. And so we just give up because we haven't actually seen these things. Well, you know what? By faith, we have seen them. By faith, we take these stands. By faith, we stand on the promises of God and see things happen that don't happen otherwise. The healing of the sick, the salvation of the lost. And I mean, I would just encourage us to think big. You know, we do have the Almighty God on our side who fights on our behalf. You know, and maybe it's not going to look the same way it did last time, you know, in this instance with Saul here, and he's trying to do things the way it was last time, but let's hear from him and let's ask him what his will is for today. So where Jonathan's reply was, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few, Saul's reply was to stay under the pomegranate tree with his few remaining 600 soldiers that he had left. He sent for a priest, he sent for the Ark of the Covenant, and rather than seeking the Lord for guidance and direction, he's looking to the form rather than the power of God. His heart's not after the Lord's heart. Saul's doing what he thinks best. Saul's using his own wisdom. He's using his own logic. He's using his own experience rather than acknowledging and inquiring of God. And that's fundamentally it. Let's not rely on our own strength and our own wisdom and our own experience. So, third question, what's your answer to all this? What's God calling you to do? What are the things in your way? Well, what's your answer? So it really is. It's easy to look at things in our own strengths and to inquire on our own experience. It's easy to use that as a reason to be inactive sometimes. You know what? I've seen this happen or I've seen this not happen, so I'm just going to sit back and relax and I'm not going to engage in sharing the gospel. I'm not going to engage in sharing my faith. I'm not going to engage in praying for people, whatever it is that you feel the Lord's calling you to do, you know, because you haven't seen it lately and you step back and say, forget about it. I'm done. So looking at things in our own strength, it's that reason not to follow the calling that God's placed on our lives. The fact of the matter, the Lord is mighty to save, whether by many or by few, meaning that he can use impossible situations. Now, looking at Matthew Henry's commentary on this topic, he says, God will direct the steps of those that acknowledge him in all their ways and seek him for direction with full purpose of heart to follow his guidance. Sometimes we find most comfort in that which is least our own doing. But sometimes we find the most comfort in that which is least our own doing. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want to be able to rely on God and have him do far more than we can accomplish in our own strength. So because of the act of faith from Jonathan and his armor bearer, the Israelites, they saw the power of God working in scattering the enemy. The Israelite army saw the victory of the Lord, even though they'd been hiding in fear just before this. And, you know, the Lord can use us, you know, to break through the impasse, can use us to break through, even when there's many around us who are stuck in fear and afraid, hiding in holes and cisterns and caves. So I would say that our answer to what the Lord is calling us to do is just like Jonathan's armor bearer. Do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. It's yet to be seen what God can accomplish through our acts of obedience. God has something for each one of us to do. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we've had in your presence. Lord, thank you for the time in your word and for your goodness to us. I thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you're able to do, and everything that you're going to do through us, even in spite of us sometimes. Lord, I pray that you would use us as your people, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted high. Lord, that you would exceed our expectations. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be a people like Saul who look to the form rather than your power, who look to our own experience, but that we would look to you, that we would look to your word, we'd look to what your promises are and receive that great and wonderful gift that you have for us even in this life. Lord, we just thank you for this time. And as we pray for one another, I ask, Lord, that you would move in power, that you would change our lives, that that we would leave here just new people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.